This opportunity to come before you. As we have been nourished in our bodies, our prayer is that you might also nourish our soul, nourish our spirit, and also bring life and vitality to our circumstances. Lord, we pray that we might touch you as that woman touched you, the woman with the issue of blood. Let every heart cry be answered in the name of Jesus. Lord, you see the needs, you see the situations. And Lord, we come in your name to rebuke every walk in an activity of darkness. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We ask for a touch from you. Yes. Blessed be your name, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We can see we are winding up. From Friday we have been looking at different aspects of the word, because I believe God gives us what we need to to minister to our, to address the things in our lives, So I believe that the word that has been coming has been directed to answer questions, to bring healing, to bring direction. I am always particular about direction. Because the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. I also much believe in direction and vision. I believe if a man has vision, the problem, you can say 50% or even more than 50% what needs to be done, you can say is achieved if there is a focus and a direction, know where we're going to. Yesterday and even today, it has been also addressing that thing about direction and vision, our inheritance. It's good to have a hope of the inheritance. But a man has to see that hope. Jesus said, except you are born again, you cannot see. Seeing is different from entering. But you cannot enter what you have not seen. Amen. So we must see our inheritance very clearly. And then we must also see the pathway of how to enter or how to apprehend, the inheritance. The inheritance that we have is not a natural inheritance, even though it may apply naturally, but it is essentially a spiritual inheritance. And I love to speak particularly of the man, of the person that is involved in this inheritance. And it is the soul that is in question. Amen.
Amen.
The man that, the real man, is the man that is not seen. The Bible says the hidden man of the heart. It's hidden, but it's the reality of what we have to deal with. And on Friday, we began to talk about the journey of the soul back, to the inheritance, to its inheritance, or its position with God. Maybe I should start from Ephesians chapter 1, because what I'll try to do, I'm trying to put it all together and break it down in a practical way that we can follow. Ephesians chapter 1. It says, God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, the blessing is a spiritual blessing. Alright? And if it's a spiritual blessing, it must be for a spiritual man. So, it's a blessing for your soul. So even if the body is done away with, it's the reality of your soul. The soul is an eternal being. You will live forever. So it's very important. There are people who deny that. They say the soul, when the man dies, that's the end, no? There's an afterlife. There is a reality beyond death. He said there was a man, a rich man, and another man called Lazarus. He called his name. It was a reality, that when the rich man died, Lazarus also died. And he began to tell us of what happens after they die, the life after. Amen. You know, so the reality of the soul is real. Not just afterlife, but now. And the scripture we're looking at now shows us that even before time, that there was a reality of the soul, of you in God. Alright, so if you look at verse 10, verse 5. It says, having predestinated us unto the what? Adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Okay? Verse 4 says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Alright, so those two things says before the foundation of the world, he chose us. God determined that there will be a body, there will be a group of people called Christ. Okay? And that these people will be bettered by Christ. By a man called Jesus Christ, who is the head of Christ. Amen. That is the most important thing all over. So before the foundation of the world, now and after, Christ is the central thing. Amen. So Paul said that I may be found in Christ. So it's not being in a church or denomination or my church is better than that, all those things are not important. What is important is what? That I'm with you. Right. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, Christ in you. If I put it another way, Christ in your spirit is only a hope. You see, it has not fulfilled what God had in mind. What God had in mind is that what? That you, your soul, will be in Christ. Amen. That's the reality. You know, so your soul must touch heaven. Your emotion must touch heaven. If you are not touching heaven, it will be like that woman with the issue of blood. You know, always losing life, always in need of life, always in need of heaven, always in need of, you know, like woman at the well, always looking for a need, for nourishment. You know, Jesus said, look, you are going to keep doing this because you have not made the connection. The soul must make a connection. Alright, and that connection is what? Christ. When the soul connects to Christ, then it has arrived. That is the key destination. That is where God wants you to be. You know? So, the fact that you are born in Uganda is of no consequence. Doesn't mean anything. Amen. The fact that you are born into a rich family or poor family or whatever circumstance, whether you are tall, short, brown, blue, beautiful, ugly, or whatever you think, all these are of no consequence. Amen. So Paul said, whether I'm a Jew or Gentile, or whether I'm a Pharisee, so all things I have counted what? Loss. For the what? The excellency of what? Of Christ. See, that I might be found in him. Amen. You understand? So for Paul, that was, so he said, because of it, I am pressing forward. And because I'm pressing forward, every other thing I put. So I said, look, all the things that I said, look, putting behind me, all the failures. Do you have some failures? Paul said, put it behind you. Amen. Do you have successes? Put it also behind you. Because it can also be a distraction. Whatever you think. So Paul said, one thing I do, always put him behind me. Because I press it forward for the mark of the prize. For the prize of the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So that's what Brother was talking. The value. What value can you put on it? In fact, somebody, Jesus said, if a man gain all the world, and do this. So in other words, he put the value of the whole world. Can you imagine the whole world? You know? If the best you can do is to be a beauty queen, that's what you're aiming to be. Or you want to marry the son of the president of Uganda, so that you will be famous. What else again can you want to be? You want to be a famous doctor that can bring out the baby, do operation on the baby, put the baby back, and you become famous. Everybody knows about you. So just choose anything you want to choose. The Bible says, when you weigh it, it doesn't add up. Amen. For the sake, for the price of the excellence. Hallelujah. So because of it, Paul says that he has suffered the loss of all things. Because he has found the price. There is a value. He has put on it. Amen. You know, so Ephesians is a very powerful scripture that gives us a foundation. Say, look, that before the foundation, that God had chosen that there will be a people in Christ. So it's a choice, you know, a calling that we have. You know, and this calling, you know, is to you. And you are so. You are so. So means emotion, desire, will, and mind. That is you. That is, in other words, so God is looking at your whole mind, your whole emotion, your whole, all those things put together. God said, you know, that you will be in Christ. Of course, we can see Christ is a spiritual reality. Just like you look at, you see your soul, you see your mind, but you know it's there. Alright? So we are speaking about spiritual reality. And that is faith. Faith is what? The substance. The reality that you don't see naturally, but which is there spiritually. So a man that is spiritually vibrant will, you know, so he says, the just shall live. In other words, he says, your soul shall live by faith. Not with what you see naturally, but what you see spiritually. So Jesus was saying that seeing you may see and not see. Hearing you may hear and not hear. In other words, he's saying there are two hearing, there is two seeing. Hallelujah. Amen. So there is a seeing of a physical seeing. But that's not really, because Paul said the things that we see, that what? They fade away, that temporary. You come out and look here, in the next 1 year, every house in this, you, in your sight, can be leveled by one little earthquake. It will level everything inside. It's gone. So it's not real. So this world really is an illusion. You are seeing it, you think it's there, but it's not really there. Amen. But the things which are not seen, those are the real things. Amen. Now, if a man who is ruled by the natural things are very important. But a spiritual man, the natural things are less important, but the spiritual things are more important. So we are looking at how we can lay hold on this reality, and we say the tabernacle gives us the best picture. There are a few other pictures. There are a few other pictures in the scriptures. You know, so we've done all that. So that is like a foundation for us. It makes it easy for us. So remember, we're talking about the soul rising. So we can draw one. We can draw it this way. And of course, that this is the tabernacle. And we said that this is the world, So this is the world. So this is the first degree, second degree, and the third degree that the soul has to rise. In other words, the soul fell into sin and is still going to fall. Unless it is halted. When you are born again, the fall stops. Amen. So when the soul comes into the world, say, for all have sinned and ruined and fallen short of the glory. So that soul is on its way to hell. Final place of judgment. Now when the person gets born again, it is arrested. And when it is arrested, you begin the journey of going back to God. And our brother Celeste gave us a very good story of the father waiting. And that is the experience of the ark. God says, I will meet you between the wings of the cherubim. So this is the place where God is waiting for you. You can, of course, you have experiences, but this is the ultimate experience. So all these experiences are to be walked into the soul. Let's all look at Deuteronomy 16:16. In talking about apprehending our inheritance to fullness within my soul, it says three times every soul is required to appear before God. Three times, where is it? Okay, 16:16, very easy to remember. Three times in a year or in your lifetime shall every male appear before the Lord in the place you shall choose. In the feast of unleavened bread, that is the experience of being born again. That's the experience of being born again. That's the altar of brass. That's the brass altar. Which you can symbolize with the cross. So we can put a cross here. Alright. And then in the Feast of Weeks, that is what refers to Pentecost. And the Pentecost takes place at the experience of the liver, as the place of baptisms. Okay, liver. And under liver, you have, there are three things: baptism, consecration, and sanctification. Baptism means death and burial. And resurrection. Okay. So these three are grouped together. These two are grouped together as part of the experience of Passover. So this is the first, I put together as the first experience of the soul. So that is the first journey. This experience is what people refer to as evangelical experience. You know, we are born again. As my sister was saying, there is no way you are born again that you have arrived. Because God is still waiting for you. The Father is still waiting. And you come, you take your first step, say you have arrived. You couldn't have arrived. Because the experience is in the mind, emotion, desire. That is the focus of the change. The way my mind is working. The way I think. The way I feel. The way I desire. That is what is in focus. That is what must be restored to God. Now, Adam climbed down from heaven. Adam was a spiritual man. Adam was a man ruled by the spiritual reality of life. But he chose to become a man ruled by the natural reality. So he became a carnal. But Adam was ruled by the unconscious realm of life. The spiritual realm of life. Amen. Amen. I don't know if I'm making sense. But Adam chose, he walked down, he stepped down. He's like, you are living on the last floor of a skyscraper. You decide to now step down and live in the gutter. That's what Adam did. He stepped down. Now, in Christ, we begin the journey back. Amen. Amen. And he's telling us that there are three steps you have to take to come to that fullness. Okay, and that's what he was telling us in the morning, the fullness of inheritance. So, on this side, we will draw another picture to make it a bit clearer. So, I will draw a big circle and four smaller circles to represent the soul. Huh? So the soul, we all agree, soul has four natures, which is actually four realms of existence. The mind is so big, it's bigger than the whole world. Your mind alone. Do you understand? Everything you see in this world was created by the mind. It's so powerful. Okay? So you have these four realms. So this is the soul. Alright? Now the soul is a spiritual man. Well, some people say the soul is a spiritual. I don't feel too comfortable with that. I would say the soul is a spiritual man. And you will see the reason why we'll use the word spiritual man. Now this spiritual man can live on the earth. Can also live in heaven. Why can the soul do that? Because of two things. God gave the soul. What is this one? What did he give the soul? The soul has a body. And because it has a body, it can manifest on the earth. You can enjoy. And this body, look at, has five major abilities. Well, you use the word, okay, you can say though. I don't want to use the big word, faculty or ability. So, anyone you like, choose anyone you like. Alright? Uh-huh. Some people say it's doorway. Anyone, whatever you want to call it, you call it. What are they? This is bright color for this one. I hope you don't mind my colors. Number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The body can see. That's the most powerful ability in the body. The sense of vision, see, sight. What's the other one? Second one. Hearing. What's the other one? Smell. What's the other one? Taste and then touch. So these are five things. Through these senses, your body relates to everything in the natural world. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a scripture that says, God said, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure. Amen. So it's like God is saying he has a soul. Is this surprising? He created you in his own image. Is that correct? Did God make you in his own image? So if you are created in the image of God, God has soul. You are soul. Do you understand? God, okay, so everything you see in this natural realm is also there in the spirit. Amen. So, as you can see, your soul can see. So you can see when your eye is closed. Have you met a blind man before? They are the most seeing people they can ever meet. So naturally he cannot see, but he has an ability to perceive things that is so sharp. It's a compensation. Amen. Same thing. You can hear. God can hear. You can hear. God can see. You can see. The same thing with smell. But, you know, the same thing with taste. Taste and see that the Lord is good. The same thing with touch. So you can touch God with your hand, which is different from the physical touch. Many people were, the Bible says that they were tonguing Jesus. They were pushing him. They were touching him physically, but there was somebody who touched him. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. What did she use to touch him? She touched him. Amen. So you can be here, you're hearing the word of God, but you are not really, you are not with the contact. When you make a contact, your life will be changed. Hallelujah. So you can touch and not touch. You can see and not see. You understand? So the reality, the spiritual reality is the essence. Amen. So Paul was saying, God, open the eyes of their understanding, that they might see the hope of their calling. You have a calling, but your eyes need to be open to see. Amen. If you don't see your calling as a partaker of Christ, if you don't see your position in Christ, you are likely not going to bother about apprehension. Amen. Because what you see is what you want to experience. Hallelujah. So without vision, the people perish. Amen. Then the other bit is that this soul also has a spirit. Amen. This one was given so that the soul can reach and touch heaven, can express itself towards the spiritual reality. So that's why even a man is not born again, he is a spiritual man. He hungers and thirsts for God. He was telling about the dog, the goat that was, the goat has no cry for God. There's no hunger, no thirst for God. Because there's no spirit. But when you have a spirit, it helps to pull up the soul towards the heavens. But particularly if you have something else, what would that something else be? If you have the spirit of God. So this is the... So if the Spirit of God anchors with your own spirit, that means your capacity to touch God, to feel God, to relate to spiritual things becomes enhanced. Amen. If you have this, there is no juju man in the whole of the Ghana that can stand in front of you. Amen. You cannot be afraid of any witch. Because this one is an anointing for the spirit. Do you understand? But you see, this spirit that we have, the destination of that spirit is where? It's my soul. Amen. Now, when we get born again, the spirit makes a first step into our own spirit. And you say you are baptized in this is what you call the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This is Christ in you. Christ in you. This is the hope. When you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, that is the deposit. It's not the destination. It's not the destination. But when you are born again, the Spirit of God has not come into your spirit. What happens is that the blood, you can put it this way, the blood is applied to the four corners of your soul. And because the blood has the life of the flesh has what? Is in the blood. Do you know the scripture? You have to know it. If not, we cannot go here if you don't know that. Alright, Leviticus 17. Because it's very important that we understand what it means to be born again, what it means to receive baptism of the Holy Ghost, what our inheritance is. So those are basic things that must be very clear. So that our vision of what we are doing in this room will be very clear. Alright, Leviticus 17:11. What does it say? If you see it, you can read to make it faster. 17:11. Okay. So this is a direct scripture. It's not making any inference. Okay? It says blood contains life. Alright? So the blood of the Lamb of God contains the life of God. So when you are not born again, you don't have the life of God in you. So the only way to receive that life is what? The blood must be applied. So that's why when the priest kills the animal, you come to, you make a sacrifice, they will take the blood and they will put it at the four corners. These four corners represent the four corners of your soul. Amen. So you can also put the blood here. We can drop the blood. So the soul receives a boost of energy, the life of God comes, and the person comes alive. Amen. Amen. So you say you are born again. It's a new birth. The spirit is renewed. You receive a new life. So you can say that soul is born and has a new life. Amen. Amen. And Titus says that you are regenerated. Regenerate means it was dead. Now it has received new life. What brought the life? The blood of Jesus Christ. So you cannot be born again by saying my father is a Christian. I have gone to do good things. I went to orphanage and gave them clothes. I bought food for them. And so because of that, I'm born again. No. There is only one language. What is the language? Blood. Amen. So the blood brings redemption. It's a price. It was explained yesterday. Jesus paid the price. What's the price? His blood. To set me free. Amen. So without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. So blood brings forgiveness. So blood cleans up your soul area. It has not changed it. The soul is still in a very low place. Remember, God is light. Dwells in a light. You understand? But God wants your soul to come there. You understand? So, you cannot just be born again like you catapult yourself to the highest realms of. You have to climb. Amen. So there are some stepping stones you have to climb to come to that place. Amen. Do you understand? So it is a very big decision, as the teacher was saying. Somebody says, born again, I'm ready to go to heaven. You're already in heaven. If you're born again, you're in heaven already. Only there is a very low heaven. And God says, this place, a time is coming when the Gentiles will. And that's what's happening now. Every cherubim and seraphim church is now born again in Nigeria. You don't know what is cherubim? White garment. You don't have white garment in Uganda? In Nigeria, every white garment church is now born again. In Nigeria, every one of them are now born again. All of them are now born again. So he's telling you that this is not the place. They now say they're born again. Yes, okay, yes.
They don't say they are born again, but they have their God who is taking them to
heaven. So this is not the place where you want to be. Alright? So we're trying to, bring it home. You understand? So that you can understand it. So, you are born again means the blood has touched your soul. Amen. And it has brought the life of God. Bring a new consciousness. The Bible says, they say you are born again, you cannot what? See. So here you are seeing, remember, this thing here is a house. When you are outside, you cannot see what's going inside. Do you understand? Abraham Martin explained all that very well. You can see 10 cubits high. You are only looking from outside. You say, what is going on there? You must go in. So you cannot say because you have seen the kingdom, you have entered. No. You see, to give you a hope. Alright? So that's why when you are born again, your soul area is speaking and you have a hunger. You begin to thirst for God. You begin to long for God. You begin to desire to pray, to come to fellowship, and all that. And when you're not there, you can take excuse for not being there. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But you need to take one more step. Alright? And that one more step is what? Baptism. And again, baptism is for the whole man. Alright? So the first one is what? What's the first baptism? The baptism in water. The first one is water. And it's for the body. Somebody still has hope. The second baptism is with the Holy Spirit. And it's for what? The Spirit. No? For the Spirit. When you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God comes into your spirit. So it is Christ in your spirit. What is it? It's a hope. The soul is still hope. Amen. But remember, God's target is your soul, is your mind. So you can be born again, speaking in tongues, but your mind has a problem. That's the mentality our brother was, the mentality of darkness. Mentality of self. Alright? And you can be a big bishop and you can hire the whole of the whole police people in Uganda to be a mobile police. They carry guns for you to protect you. Yes. Yes. Because the emotion has a problem. Don't you understand? Amen.
Amen.
So when you see those things, it's a judgment. God is saying, this is not the place where you want to be. Because you need to go a little bit higher. Hallelujah. Because the soul is still unattended to. Alright? So, when I have the Spirit of God in my spirit, it is a hope of that inheritance. That's it. Or some people call it the full salvation or fullness and so on. Amen. So, according to Deuteronomy 16, we must come to the second experience. And that is what? Pentecost. Alright? And that's what we have explained. Now, he says there's another experience. The third one, he calls it tabernacle. Are we reading it? Let's go back to that Deuteronomy 16. Let's read it. The last experience. The third experience. Or the fullness experience. And this is the experience that the church is not making. And that is the experience that God is all speaking to all every one of us. We are being invited to present our soul so that we can come into this fullness of Christ. The coming forth of Christ within our soul. And that is the baptism of our soul. Let's read it. What's it? And in the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay? As it is said, it's called tabernacle. That means, the tabernacle means to dwell. In other words, the Spirit of God wants to dwell in your mind, in my emotion, in my desire, in my will. That my soul will become God's eternal dwelling place. And for that to happen, it means my soul is not going to stop here. It's going to go all the way. And to do that means it has to rise. It has to become more spiritual and less worldly and more spirit-minded. Amen.
Amen.
Alright, so on this board, on this other side, you can say that it is an experience in which the Spirit of God begins to come into the four dimensions of the soul. And what that means is that there will be a change. So this is the place where my mind is changed. The way I think. The way I feel. The things I desire. My personality. Alright? And this is the place where, it's a place of work. It's a place where all the work is done. And when we come to the tabernacle, there are two things. There are two experiences that bring about the change. Alright, I can tell you the story of Esther. You know Esther? Esther was going to meet the king. So this is the king waiting for Esther. Your soul is Esther. Esther did not just walk in and meet the king. What did she do? She had to be prepared. She was 6 months. What was she doing? Oil of man. Huh? Another 6 months is what? Sweet odors. That sweet odor means the character. You know, by attitude. Sometimes, many of us will have attitude. We have attitude issues. Patience, meekness, temperance, self-control, love. Those fruits of the Spirit. Those are the sweet aroma. Okay. Bible says a godly woman that she has a meek and what? Quiet spirit. Which is the price of God is what?
Great.
Of great. He says the unmanliness of. So in other words, spiritual nature is a spiritual honor. In other words, my soul, for my soul to move up, it must acquire some jewels. Amen. So just like the woman has to dress up very well, so this is a spiritual woman now, that the soul must be properly jeweled. Amen. Alright, so there are two places where this happens. The first one is called what? The lampstand. That's the lampstand. Maybe I have to flip over. And then you have the other one, table of shewbread. There are 6 loaves of bread here. And then there are 7 lamps of fire burning. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Now remember, and of course you have the door. It was 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So you see the fivefold ministry. Alright? The job of the fivefold ministry is not to take money from you. The job of the fivefold ministry is to do what? To bring you to perfection. You see, until we all come to a perfect man. Perfect means complete mature. Alright? A matured Christian is God conscious, not self conscious. A child Christian is what? Me. Supermarket. Shoplift. Lord, do it for me. Their Lord is good. Blessing of God. That is child Christian, shoplift Christian. That is the type that gives money, offering time, blessing time. The mature Christian is looking just like Esther. She went and asked the man, tell me what will please the king. Amen. So the mature Christian is king conscious, not self. You know, like we heard, self has died. Alright? He's thinking, what can I do to be presentable to please God? I remember I said, without faith, it is what? Impossible. So, please God. You understand? So you're looking at everything is inward. The mature Christian is inward man. He's always thinking about, you know, the condition of his soul. The child Christian is thinking about the condition of his body. You know, what to wear, what to drink, what to eat. Amen. So these are the two experiences. So this is called lampstand. This is called shepherd. And they work to produce something. Another experience. What's this called? I think I'm going to move away from this, but it's busy now. Alright. But again, this is the soul. And this table of this altar of incense is 1 cubit. So it's a square. 1, 1, 1. And there are 4 horns. And then you have the incense rising. So this is to produce this. This is to produce this. Amen. A soul that is ready for marriage. How do you know it's ready for marriage? You have rings. There's 2 rings. You see that this soul is not mature enough to be married to Christ. And this is the only thing that crosses this barrier. Amen. On the Day of Atonement, the priest will carry only this one across. So he's saying that this is the only soul that is ready to go to heaven. So before you say you are going to heaven, you must go through lampstand. You must go through shewbread. Amen. But more importantly, you must first of all enter. And who is the gatekeeper? Jesus said, I am the door. Hallelujah. And this place is called, this is gate. That's a gate. It was 20 cubits. Again, remember 20 means redemption. There were 15 cubits here. 15. to give us the 30. You understand? 15, 15, 30, 20. So, and there were four pillars. So, through more tribulation, Mr. Donna, are you there? Through more tribulation, you will enter the kingdom. So, God has blessed you. Amen. Four. There are four pillars here. Four seasons of tribulation. So you can see.
No.
Well, use victory, but victory always comes through suffering. When you die, then you overcome. So when you say, I shall suffer no loss, you must have suffered something before. There's no way you cannot suffer. Paul fasted, after fasting, he came out and said, no loss. He didn't just walking, and you understand? He took some time. The angel of God came to him, spoke to him, and he came out and he made that declaration. Amen. So, the four there speaks of the pathway. And that's how you know that the prosperity message is from here. You can say it very boldly. Amen. Sweatless winner. There's nothing like that. You understand? You pray and kill all the uncles and everybody around you. That's not the way to go. Amen. So, through much tribulation, we must enter into the kingdom. So, you can see the 20 there, speaking of redemption. And 20 means 5 times 4. 5 is what? Grace. 4 is what? Tribulation. Amen. And if you multiply the 20 by 5, you get 100, which also speaks of redemption. So, it's a complete message. Amen.
Amen.
Alright. So, we are winners. So, we are at the place of change. Alright. So, you are born again. Your sins are forgiven. If you sin tomorrow, you can ask God to forgive. Say, my little children, do not sin. But if you sin, what happens? You have an advocate who can forgive you. Forgiveness of sin is not change of nature. Do you understand? Because if you don't change in nature, you are bound to do it again, ask for. You understand? So we are saying, let us go beyond forgiveness, rising and falling. There's a place where you don't fall. Because you have dealt with the source of the offense. You understand? And remember, the problem is that the soul nature has fallen. It's falling into depravity. You understand? There is a lion here. The emotion is like a lion. This emotion. The lion is a wild beast. You know, in some scriptures it says Peter saw a tent with all kinds of wild beasts. He's speaking of the wild emotions. You understand that? Yeah. Okay. You have the other one. It's a desire. It's a creeping, you know, earthbound. The millipede has how many legs? Uh-huh. So it is firmly rooted. It can never fly. You can never rise in the presence of God. Don't you understand? So if my soul is, you know, belly, it says some people they are ruled by their belly. And how you know that? How you address it? By fasting. When you fast, you are giving a big blow to the belly. Say, food, I'm not going there today. Amen. Fast when you have food. If you fast when there's no food, well, it will still be counted. But you have this, you're still going to fight another day when you have the food. When you go for the conference, and everybody go for tea break, that's when you know that you're fasting. Since you understand now. Everybody going for tea break. And they're chatting and enjoying themselves. And your tummy is reporting. That is not the time to break the fast, though. Amen.
Amen.
So you need, the belly needs some discipline to say, hold on, not now. Amen.
Amen.
So that's how to begin to break the power. You know, I remember Jesus said sometimes some spirits will not go out except by prayer and fasting. Because those kind of spirits, they get their energy through the flesh. Okay? Now, you look at the relationship between the man and the woman. Jesus said, look, you err because you don't know the truth. That in the resurrection, that you don't need to marry. In other words, your soul doesn't need energy for marriage. Or energy for a boy-girl relationship. You know it's an energy, it's a strength. Amen.
Amen.
There is a place where the soul rises above that. Amen. So if you are having challenge in that area of relationship, tell your soul that you can have victory. It's called self-control. And it happens when the Holy Ghost enters the emotion. He brings that wild man on that thing and says, sit down. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. I know David, David, as a young man, he didn't overcome. But God had to make sure he overcame to tell all of us, to encourage all of us who are struggling with it. He brought the most beautiful girl in Jerusalem. And he said, yeah, this is your wife. You know what the Bible says? Because David needed heat. And he was there to warm him up. The Bible says that he never touched that. So he overcame. Amen.
Amen.
So you must tell yourself that you must overcome. When the devil says, he says, no, David overcame. Hallelujah. And, you know, it is a strength that the Bible says the Spirit speaks. The Spirit brings strength and energy. Amen. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at the life the Spirit gives. So you will understand why you must overcome. You know, I said to the devil, I must overcome. And I have a reason. Now, when you look at the lampstand, it is a golden pipe. Alright? And there are three stems. Is this stems? Yes. Three. Another three here. Another three. Okay, and then there's the central one. Okay, so they all come out as a square. But the important thing is that it has a wick. That's the truth. Amen. What does the wick stand for? The wick is Joseph. And me. And you. So the wick is what? Is me. You. Cousin. Stella. Every other person. You understand? The wick stands for humanity. Amen. So this is your soul in Christ. It's the flesh. This is the oil. Huh? And then this is the fire that's burning. This is the fire that is burning. So the oil is soaking the wick. And the fire is coming. Amen. Alright, let's look at the scripture. Proverbs. Let's read the scripture. Don't worry. Oh, let's read it. Proverbs 20:27. That's the scripture. Proverbs 20:27. What does it say? Say, the spirit of man is what? Well, the right translation is lamp, lamp. Because candle doesn't have oil. So, you understand? So, what is there is actually lamp. Because lamp means oil. And that oil speaks of the Holy Spirit. You understand? So, the wick stands for humanity. Alright, so the wick is man. This is gold. And then this is gold. And gold means the nature of God, isn't it? And then you have you. And then this is Christ. So you know what? It is you in Christ. Alright, so this is the picture we are looking at. This is Christ coming into your soul. In other words, you can say that this week is your soul. So we can say this is the soul. In the ocean of Christ. The more the week is in the oil, what happens to it? It is imbibing the nature of the Spirit. Amen. So Paul says, if we walk in the Spirit, so if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So this is the soul in the Spirit. It doesn't have any choice but to what? Walk in the Spirit. Amen. So to be the Spirit means that the Spirit of God is in you. Paul says, if the Spirit of Christ is not in you, then you are not. Amen. So you are in the Spirit because the Spirit of God is in you. What that means is that the Spirit of God is now controlling, exercising dominion over the realms of your soul. You are in the flesh when the Spirit of God is not ruling over your soul. That's the difference between flesh. Flesh means your soul doing its own thing. You understand? You have a problem, you want to marry, you follow Uganda law. You don't ask God, how do you want me to do it? You don't ask God's opinion. You don't submit to the will of God, to the counsel of God. You understand? That's walking in the flesh. Alright? Using your mind, your sense, without asking the Spirit of God. Alright? So there are two lifestyles. It's a lifestyle in the Spirit and a lifestyle in the flesh. And you know, the easiest spirit is the Word of God. Are you agreeing? The easiest spirit is because the Bible is always there with you. So you can find out, what does the Bible say about marriage? What does the Bible say about this? What does the Bible say about this? And every solution, every problem you have today, or that you can have, is covered where? In the Bible. So the more you read the scriptures, the more you are in the scriptures, the more your mind will be ruled by the Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And the Bible says that the Word of God is what? The source of the Spirit. So anywhere you have this Word of God, the Spirit will follow. So the trick is bring the Word of God and the Spirit of God will be there. Because the Word and the Spirit. Remember the Esther test. Esther was hopping, and the other one was staying on two legs. So one leg is for the Spirit, one leg is for the Word. Alright, so the Word and the Spirit, they go together. So if you want to be in the Spirit, start with the Word of God. As you read the Word of God, your mind begins to open up, and the Spirit of God starts flowing into it. Amen. Because the Spirit will always follow the Word. And let me show you another reason. When you look at the tabernacle, when you enter this tabernacle, it's all dark. There's no other light. Is there any other source of light? The only source of light is what? From the Spirit. So the Spirit illuminates your mind. It quickens your emotions. Those of us who You're always depressed. You have a solution. You have the spirit. It says the joy of the Lord is what? Joy is the food that your emotion can eat. Amen. Hallelujah. He says the joy of the Lord is strength. In other words, when you begin to feel sad, it's a spirit. Rebuke it. It will run away. Rebuke the devil and you'll flee. There's some folks who sit down, oh, nobody loves me. Look at Sister Billy, this devil called me today. This devil came by past my house. Not mind, I'm not going to face it again. Nobody ever called me. This happened. Hey. Ah, you open that door, you are locked forever. Amen.
Amen.
When the devil says enter, I'm not entering, I rebuke the devil. Amen.
Amen.
And try it. You say, I call it a 5-minute test. Feel 5 minutes in motion with you. I'm not telling you stories. Practice it. Anytime you feel sadness, you beat the spirit. Within 5 minutes, the emotion will change. Amen. Do you know why? The Bible says, rebuke the spirit, and what will he do? He will flee. Another one will come. Oh, yes. You rebuke one, another one comes. So make you believe that nothing has happened. But that one has gone. That one has gone. Amen. Hallelujah. That's how you can have victory. Alright? So it's a spirit. Alright? And we must learn how to be on top. You know, on top of the game. So, it is the line of the spirit that shows you where the bread is. Don't you understand? If you take away the light, you won't know where the bread is. So, the spirit of God will reveal the word. You understand? The letter kills, but the spirit giveth life. Amen. Another one says the spirit quickeneth. The spirit of God quickens. Do you know that the spirit of God can strengthen your emotion, strengthen your desire? It gives strength, it quickens. Amen. And that scripture we read says that the spirit of man is what? Is the lamp of the spirit of God. Doing what? Giving light to another lamp or another vessel. Your soul is a vessel. So when your spirit is enlightened, it will also lighten your soul. Amen.
Amen.
Actually, there's another thing. You see, the mind is the chief of the soul. If your mind has strength, it will give strength to your emotions and your desires. Amen.
Amen.
If in your mind you are defeated, your soul, no hope. Your emotions, no hope. So that's why the devil wants, first of all, defeat you in your mind. Tell you are no good. You can never overcome. You are never do this. He will show you all the things that happened to your father, your mother, and say, if it happened to them, you are a failure. It's the mind. You're attacking the mind first. But if your mind wins, then your mind will pull up your emotion and your desire. You begin to see a change in your emotion. Amen. So, back again to this. So, this is you in the ocean of Christ. So, the more you are walking in the Spirit, the more your nature is imbibing the nature of the Spirit. And the more your light is shining. Amen. So, now, let us look at the principle of Christ in you, okay, and the other principle of you in Christ. Now, if the Spirit of God begins to flow into your mind and emotions, what it means is that there will be fruit. You understand? So, the evidence that the Spirit of God is flowing into you is the fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. So, you cannot say, I cannot tell you that I am making progress towards maturity and there is no character. What is the character? Love. joy, meekness, faith, long-suffering. What is again? Joy, gentleness, kindness, temperance, self-control. Those are fruits of the Spirit. You don't say, I will be self-controlled. No. Oh. You don't struggle to have self-control. What do? Just submit to the Spirit. Do you know why? Because the Spirit is a river. Now, let me show you the river. Now, many of us, we are looking for solutions from television. We go to, what's that girl's name? Oh, what's that? Oprah Winfrey. Is that her name? Oprah. And all those things, you look at those, you are looking for joy. You're going to the wrong place. But we say there is a river that makes it glad. Where? The city of God. Where is that river? Within the soul. Now, let's locate the river. The river is flowing from the Spirit of God into your spirit, to your emotion, to your mind, to your desires, and to where else? To your will. So, of course, our will is so weak. Yeah? We can never say something and stand by it. But you can change. Amen. Amen. Where is the hope? It's coming from that river. Alright? So let's identify the river. John chapter 7. There's a river flowing within you. So, all I need to do is to switch on the river. We are singing about that river. Say, there's a river flowing. Running from, it's flowing from the throne of God. Amen. Look at it. John 7:37. It says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. For he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, his soul, his mind, shall do what? Flow what? Rivers of living water. Verse 39, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not. So he's telling you that there is a river. Amen. It's flowing in the belly, in your soul. The source of that river is from God. And there is no persecution, no trouble, no famine, nothing in this world. Paul says, what shall separate us from the love of God? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Free of charge. By the way, if it runs dry, what do you do? Don't go and switch it on again. Hallelujah. So, you and I must learn the trick of switching on that river. Someone says, spring up, oh well, within my soul. Jesus told us, look, when he gives you this water, it will spring up unto everlasting life. Hallelujah. Do you know the easiest way to get the river? Let Jesus just come and dwell in your heart. Amen. He's the source of life. And that river will flow all the time. Now, the second scripture you can find in, where do we find it? In Genesis. He said there was a river that was flowing in Eden. It had four heads. Huh? That's the river. And it has four heads to your soul. But the river stopped flowing when Adam climbed down. It was okay now. So the soul of man dried up, became a wilderness. Dried. The difference between a garden and wilderness is water. You understand? If you see a beautiful garden, it is beautiful because of what? Supply of water. Cut off the water, it becomes a wilderness. That's what happened to my soul. When the connection between you and the devil will fight you, make sure he cuts that place where you get life. Okay? When he cuts it off, sin, of course, is the thing that comes. Worldliness, WhatsApp, all those things. There are so many WhatsApp programs now. Village WhatsApp, town WhatsApp, primary school, secondary school, university, UN, what else again? By the time you finish checking all of that, answering all the mails, it is 6 o'clock in the morning. Then you start again. Go to her Facebook. Yeah, also go to Facebook. Yeah. Instagram. Okay, I don't think I have time to get there. But you see, Jonah was swallowed by the whale. Do you know what is whale? Whale is WhatsApp. Hey, the things that overwhelm you. The Bible says that on the fifth day that there will be many fishes. What do you think the fish? Fish means organization, system, technology, programs, apps. Those are the fishes in the sea. They are in the world. There are many things in the world. You have to go and do shopping. You have to cook. You have to service your car. You have to train the children. So many things. They overwhelm you. Amen. And the Bible says they are the deceitfulness of what? Riches. There's another one called, it said that the love of money, didn't say money, the love of money is what? The root of all evils. Which mainly, those who have converted after, said that they have pierced their soul with many sorrows. Amen. James said that you seek, but you don't have, and you start fighting. Isn't that so? The brother that have, you are fighting him with your heart. So all those things are so many things that choke up the soul, choke up the mind. You know, you are worried, cares, matter so much. We need to come to a place of rest. Amen. Paul said, having food and what? Raiment. Therewith to be content. Contentment is a grace. And it's a salvation. Amen. So it's okay. When I build the house, I'll be content. When you finish building the house, find that your house is that old. You have to put it down and build a new model of the house. When you buy the car, say no. After I change the model, I buy a new one. So it never stops. Amen. When you're a doctor, you want to be a bigger doctor. When you're a farmer, you want to be a bigger farmer. It doesn't stop. So, contentment is a grace that God can bless us with. And it will quench every care. Paul said, I know how to abase and how to abound. It's elastic. If it has, fine. If it doesn't have, fine. Amen. It's a grace we have to learn. Because it says that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of what he has. Hallelujah. You know, so there is a supply of life from the Spirit. You know. And of course, Psalm 46, I read it. It says there is a river that brings life to the city of God. And that city of God, as we have seen, is the soul. And we can see the river that's coming. Now let me quickly talk about this shewbread. Now, there's a table here, and you're supposed to have six loaves, six this way, six this way. In other words, it's two. It's a witness of the word, and then it was 12. So 12 means it's complete. Now, the word that Moses received, he received this on a mountain. Remember how Moses got the word? He went up to the mountain. But there is another mountain called Zion that our brother was speaking about. Alright? So Moses went up to Mount Sinai. You have to go to Mount Zion to get the word. Amen. 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 Now, how did Moses get the word? God came and wrote. Is it not? And something happened, he broke it. And God now told Moses, now you write. So one was precept, that is, God tells you so and so. There's another writing, which is the experience. Hallelujah. So there is the word of God. We are now receiving the spoken word, you know. It's good. Spoken word is good. Because Bible says the spoken word even say you are clean by the words that you have spoken. But there is the living word, which is effective. Do you know Jesus is the living word? So he's with you all the time. Amen. So you have the spoken word, you have the living word, and you have the written word. You have the three of them working for you. Amen. So when God gives you a word, that word will be trying. So all the things you'll be hearing this weekend, they are the trial, they are the practicals. And that practical is to now write the word deeper into the mind. So the table here represents my mind. Is that correct? Bible says that, Paul says that you are a piece written on fleshly tables of the heart, ministered by the Spirit, not by letter. Amen. So Paul says we are epistles being written. Alright? So there is a place where we have to read, we have to hear, but there is even more honorable to walk. So we must determine to walk in the world, to be doers of the word. You know, I say not only hearers. So when you hear, but the faith comes by hearing. It begins from hearing. And hearing the word of God. Faith gives you the strength to do the will of God. And of course, to know the will of God and then to do it. So it's important to hear. You know, either a message, you know, the tapes, you know, all the conferences, on the website, different places, there are messages. Listen to them. Some of us are in offices. We are alone in the office. What are you doing there? You are watching movies. You're reading Daily Nation. Huh? CNN. Well, you can also use it to think. Messages. While you are working, while you are writing your reports, you are listening to messages. Or even the Bible, audio Bible, and others. You can also read the scripture. Alright? So it's recommended 1-4 chapters of scripture every day. Is it possible? Justina, is it possible? You know, so try calculate the time of checking Facebook. Well, let me tell you my experience. It's possible. Because I was just a student in check. You know, I told myself it's not possible. But after some time, I said it was possible. The only way is that some things, you have to cut off some programs. If you cut off some Facebook, instead of 10 friends, you reduce it to 2. Yes. Twitter, you reduce the time. WhatsApp, you take more time. I found out that in 2 hours, you can read about 10 chapters of the Bible. 2 hours. Yes. 2 hours. You know, when I started out, I didn't believe it was possible. Now, it's so easy for me. You see, it's the mind. Train your mind. Amen. When your mind becomes used to the scripture, it will run fast. Amen. Put it another way. When your mind is slow, it will be so sluggish. It's like a cranky engine. It's cranking to start. But when your mind is high, it moves very, very fast. Amen. So, I recommend Bible reading. Bible reading mixed up with prayer. So, as I read the scriptures, I'm praying. I don't have a lot. I can get to some passages of scripture and I slow down. And I start looking at it. I start studying it. I get to the linear. I look at the words. So, as the Spirit of God leads me, I'm free. Amen. Then I move on again. But I recommend Bible reading. It will transform. Bible says that just reading the word, you are blessed. Blessed are they that read. Hallelujah. So if God wrote you a letter, you need to know the things in the letter. You know, you have a covenant, you have a contract. Read it. Spend time in it. Amen. So, by the way, I have a New Testament reading program which I designed. I designed it to meet my needs. You understand? There are many on the internet, but I did it in such a way that if you are busy like me, you find that some days you are not able to read, but you can carry over. It's allowed. You carry over, but you make sure that you keep up and you finish. You know, so I have a program, I can give it to you. You know, 30 days, you can make it 2 months. 30 days, you know, means you read through the New Testament in 1 month. But you can collapse it and do it in 2 months. Alright? There's another one, they have a 90-day Bible challenge. That means you are doing a fasting on the Word of God. Try it. Lock yourself up. You know those fast novels you used to read? James Hardy Chase, Harold. Okay, which one did they read now? Which one did they read now? I don't know what they read. Fast novels. Or movies. Nollywood, Nigeria. Close all those things. Amen. Keep it up. Amen. So try it. So those of us who are working, weekend is your escape time. You know, because on weekend you have time. So you can catch up on all the scriptures you didn't, all the Bible, all the tapes, messages. So those are ways of training the mind. But this is just introduction. The table of shewbread is the mind of Christ ministering to your mind. Amen. So it's a place of revelation of the word. Okay? Where the spirit begins to bring a revelation of the word. It's actually light shining into the midst of your soul. Now, the power of the table of shewbread is that when they designed it, it has two crowns. There's a table here. It has one set of crowns pointing up and another one pointing down. Amen. You know what it signifies? The one pointing down speaks of judgment. Judgment to the darkness within the soul. He told Ezekiel, so when you eat this scroll, say to do what? To be bitter in your belly. That's how you know the word of God that is true. Every true word of God must be bitter in your belly. Any word you hear which does not work a judgment within your soul is fake. Amen. The true word of God must judge the darkness in your soul. You may not agree with it, but you know this is the truth. Amen. Now, it will produce a result. The result is victory. Who knows about victory? Alright? That is the crown pointing up. To rule and reign with Christ. Or to be a son of God. So, the path to sonship is what? Judgment of the thoughts and intent of the heart. See, the word of God is quick and powerful. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of your heart. Yes, so any word of God that doesn't have the power to discern, to judge, to be real and relevant in your everyday situation is fake. Amen. Amen. The true word of God will go deep down. And it will produce godliness, which will cause you to be an overcomer. Amen. So that's the power of shewbread. It brings a change. And you can see, by the time you combine this and this, you can have a soul that is redeemed, that is pure, that is ready for marriage. That's the maturity. Alright, and at this point, you can see this soul is now experiencing the fullness of Christ. Christ has come in. Because if God comes in, he's going to judge. If you walk in the light, as he is in the light, what happens? We have fellowship. And the light exposes the darkness. And that brings the cleansing. Amen. So the closer you come to the light, the greater the shining of the light. And the cleaner you will become. You know. So, I believe that where God is calling us is to come into this experience of the Spirit. And the experience of the Spirit is the place of rest. It says that he that is joined unto the Lord is one Spirit. So it is the mind of Christ with your mind. It's the place of oneness. It's the place of union. And, you know, it's a place where the life of God begins to come. Let me close with Hebrews 8. And then we'll just wrap up. Hebrews 8. Hebrews 8 is the core of the New Testament. You must be very clear about it. This is the message of the New Testament. Sometimes we do not know what the message is. Hebrews 8, verse 7 says, "For if that first covenant had been faultless," that is the Old Testament, Old Covenant, "then should no place have been sought for the second." 7. Hebrews 8, 7. Alright? Verse 8, "For finding fault with them, he said, Behold, the days will come, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house." So this is the New Testament. Okay, now what is the bone of it, the meat of it? It says, "Not according to the covenant that I made with your fathers when I took them from Israel," and so on. Verse 10, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord." What is the new covenant? "I will put my laws into" where? "Their mind. And I will write it" where? "In their heart. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." Verse 11 is an explanation. It says, "And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest." Amen. So, the New Testament is about the mind. It's about the heart. And they ask Jesus, "Tell us, what is the greatest commandment?" What did he tell them? "Thou shalt love the Lord your God with" what? "With all your mind, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength." So this is the first and the greatest commandment. Amen. So it's simple. And that is all that we have been talking about. Bringing the thing down to the soul, to the heart. The heart is where the four stations of the soul, where they meet together. That is. In other words, it's simple. This is the mind, this is the emotion, desire, and will. That's the four. Amen. The four of them, where they come together, is what the Bible calls the heart. It's a very deep place. Okay? But that is the place God says, "I will put my law." But before God got there, somebody else had entered there. So the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. In other words, darkness has entered the heart already. So why are you wasting time? You must go to the heart also. Amen. Amen. So God says the Old Testament couldn't address it. So there are many Christians who are Old Testament Christians. They don't think about the heart. Prosperity. Prosperity. Every day, prosperity. 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 The problem is not prosperity. You don't have food to eat. If you don't have food to eat, go and check your heart. That's the quickest solution. Amen.
Amen.
So I didn't say any amen.
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 If you have problem with food, with your neighbor, with your education, with this, any problem you have, solution, go to the heart. Amen.
Amen.
Something is wrong with the heart. Someone says, create in me. What? A clean heart, oh God. I renew a right spirit within me. Amen. Someone says, search me, oh God. And do what? Know my heart, my thoughts. Show it to me. That's why God, whatever David did though, God said, leave him. He's my boy. Because David knew the secret. It was the heart. Amen. Saul was running all over the place. David just went to the heart. I said, God, my heart is evil. Create in me. Amen. He says, thou desirest it where? In the inward part. So if you are a heart Christian, you will be flying. Amen. You will be the head and not the tail. They will be looking for you. If you are a heart Christian, that is, God, deal with my heart. Clean my heart. Change my heart. Put this law in my heart. Now, how does God put the law in your heart? Well, the Bible says, thy law have I hid. Who hid it? David. So you have a responsibility. You must hide it. God is not going to hide the law in your heart. He's going to bring ministry. He will bring the Bible, bring everything. Oh yeah, it's your job. You must hide the law in your own heart. The Bible says the bride has made herself ready. Okay, so people are preaching that God is their righteousness. God is their this. It's true. But you see, it's positional. You understand? Positional is real from experiential. Alright? Christ has gotten it for you, but you must walk in it. And we have seen the law. God spoke, but say Moses use your hand and write it. So there is a place where we must do it. He said, we have with us a young man, and we all are young men. Cleanse his way. What did the Bible say? By doing what? Taking heed according to the word of God. So it is a culture, a lifestyle we have to adopt. Do you know you can change your lifestyle? And it's a choice. You choose to be a heart Christian. That means someone who hides. You know, Proverbs says, my son, hide my law. Retain it. Keep it. Treasure it. Lay it up in your heart. Amen. So that should be our motivation. So when we come to fellowship, it's an opportunity to do what? To hide the word. Share the word. Break down the bread, share experiences, and to encourage ourselves, you know, to bring the word, to hide it. Now, when you hide the word will work the change. Do you understand? It's the word that brings the change. Amen. When you plant something, you don't go around, you go and say, oh yeah, corn, today is, you become green today. Tomorrow, is that what you do to the corn? No. Just water it. And God gives increase. So God brings the increase of righteousness also within your soul. As you bring in the word, as you imbibe the word, meditate on it. You know, say you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. But before that time, it says, his delight is in the law. That means the word of God is your entertainment. Amen. So that means you lose the appetite for one entertainment. And the way to change appetite is not by saying, I will not do. I will not do. It will fail. You change it by doing what you should do. Amen. The more of the word of God you start reading, you lose appetite for sweeter. Try it. Try it. After 1 week, you write me a letter and say, this is the result. Spend time in the Word of God. Within 1 week, you will lose appetite for Twitter. I can show you. It has been tested and tried. Amen.
Amen.
You lose the appetite and you will gain another appetite. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so as you begin to do those things, see that your heart begins to change. Your heart can change. Your heart can become clean and become pure, you know, and begin to rise. And it will become that beautiful place that God wants to dwell. Amen. So I believe that that is the way we can, there are other things, but I think we can end at this point. So you can see the tabernacle, there's nothing like it. Amen. It is an experience. You walk through it. You know, you can see the soul going, rising, up to the point where it becomes... This act, by the way, is your mind also. But at this time, it's now overshadowed. Amen. And God said, you will meet you between the wings. God dwells between the cherubim. Just as their soul becomes like that of the cherubim. All the cherubims, they have an appetite for God that cannot be insatiable. That is, they want God so that they can want more God. You know? That lady said, I want more of God. All of you, you know, tonight. Eh? I want more of you. When God gives you more, he says, you want more of him. Amen, amen. That is the cherubim. So, it is a nature in the spirit where there is a desire, an appetite. Your will is fixed on knowing God. Amen. Here, the will is fixed on knowing, feeding from garbage and nonsense. But here, the will is not changed and transformed. The only thing it wants is God. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. That's the only language. That means it is a soul that has been transformed. You understand? So we can all get there if we aim for it. And you know, the more, the merrier. The time to fast is when everybody is fasting. If everybody is fasting, and that's the time you don't want to fast, you get into trouble. But if we all are fasting, we are expected. So it will be good for the fellowship to fast. Is that true?
Amen.
So take some time and fast, and give your time to the things of God. It will build an energy and a strength, and which can push you forward. So I think we can stop here. Unless there are questions, praise God. Amen. Any questions? Yes. Okay.
Praise the name of the Lord. The experience of the children of Israel in Egypt. God told Moses, say, look, I'm sending you to my people. Tell them that I want to bring them out. They were in bondage. You understand that? So now Moses takes this word and goes to them and says, this is what God is saying. I want to bring you out. So Pharaoh hears it and said, what? You mean to, you want to release this from my captivity? You know what he did? He told his taskmasters, give them more problems. Give them more trouble. The moment you do that, they will stop talking about this going out, living. It's because they're idle. You see, now the moment this, their problems increase, they say, we let us become slaves forever and all that. Do you understand the point? So sometimes you need to persist. Do you understand the point now? Now you know that you eventually got their deliverance because they what now? Persisted. You know, Pharaoh tried to intimidate them. He tried to harass them. What was he trying to do? Get them to forgive this foolish idea of being free. Do you understand the point? That's what the enemy does with you. So once you start fasting, you see, there are powers that control our lives. They keep us at a particular frequency. And they are happy you are like that. Some of them operate by keeping you in ignorance that you are in bondage. So you don't know. Sometimes it takes the word of God to come to you to open your eyes. To see, my God, my life is being manipulated and controlled. And I thought I was actually enjoying myself. Do you understand that? And when that word comes, within you, you want to have a desire, I want to be free. I can't continue to live like this, in this condition of bondage and all that. But you see, the enemy who, see, the spirits feed from you. Just like Israel was walking and Pharaoh was what now? Benefiting. There are certain spirits that their energy comes from a particular kind of lifestyle that we consider to be our culture, our contemporary, you understand, lifestyle. The kind of things young people like to do and all that. All of that is just, in fact, you're a battle for spirits. They are powering their activity using you. Do you understand the point? But when a war like this comes, you begin to say, my God, I want out. I'm not going to live like this. And the moment you declare that the devil comes, say, you're not serious. So you find that a conflict now comes. You see, but you must be, the Bible says, them that endure, what now, to the end. When the trouble comes, fast more. Are you getting my point? It will look at, you see, the truth is that with every trouble that comes, God is actually beating some spirits. You understand the point? The more they are making trouble, actually they are in trouble. They are the ones in trouble. So if you persist, after a while, God will tell you, I'm going to give them a final blow. This night, when I'm done with them, they will let you go. And I tell you, if you persist, you will get deliverance. Praise God.
They give a wrong gospel. That once you get born again, all your problems are solved. To me, it's the opposite. When you get born again, your problems begin. Why? Because getting born again, you have seen a treasure. You're now going for it. You didn't know about it before. Then suddenly God opens your eyes, there's a treasure, and you go for it. That is when the trouble begins, because the devil will now say, how will I just stay here and this man will go and get this treasure? Do you understand? So you see that you begin to have some troubles you never knew before. They will just wake up just to make you feel that, it seems that this born again, is that what it means? I don't want again, no. Let me stay how I was before. You see the lie of this other gospel that tells that once you get born again. But like he said, when you realize that it is because of this thing I touched that is causing this, and if I value this thing I touched, then it means there's something more serious about it. Why are all the devils suddenly waking up because of this thing? So you give yourself more to it. And the Bible says that through much tribulation, we enter the kingdom. So if I have seen the kingdom and it's already causing stairs, for me to enter, I have to suffer more. Do you understand? And that suffering is, remember, is the Bible says it's nothing compared to the glory that is ahead, because it's a temporary thing. It's short-lived. The glory is far supersedes whatever you're going through. So, but what the devil wants is to dissuade you, discourage you. But when you realize that what I'm going for is something eternal, something that is cannot be compared to what I'm seeing around here, you persevere. And as you persevere, like you said, you begin to see the result. And the devil will say, this person is serious. So he now realizes that you're really knowing, you know what you're going for. And as you push more, and when you get deliverance, you bring deliverance to other people around. Your liberty brings liberty to your family members, to your friends. It's like they suddenly realize, something has happened to this person. You know, they may not say it, but after some time they may begin to say, because you have brought victory in the spirit that liberates other people. Praise God.
I have experience I went through during the time of knowing how to go in fasting and prayer. I had a problem of ulcers. I've been yearning, I've been hearing people are going in fasting and praying, and I could not go in for it. And I've been asking God, help me so that I can also tap the anointing of fasting. So I got the word that I can. So I kept praying for it. One time I said, God, today I'm going to try what you've spoken to me. I began the fasting. It's when ulcers has woken up more than before. I said, oh God, was this you or my bee? It was my own mind. So I began wondering. But I trusted. I said, God, you are the one who spoke this statement to me. So I pressed on. And not until I reached the time that I felt now I'm going to break off my fasting. I broke the fasting and it was normal. So the next day I began, and it was the same case that happened. And at the end of the day of breaking the fasting, I became better. Even the third day, that's how it was. Then at the time of breaking the fasting, I could become better. So on the fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, there was no battle that I had from the beginning. So my healing came. I no longer suffered from ulcers, and I became a healed person, and that's when I came to know that the fasting can do this. So the devil is like a barking dog. So to scare you, you cannot do this. You cannot do this. And then at the end of it all, you go down to fulfill the will of God. Amen.
Another thing, I'm just looking at the scripture that says we must press in. I mean, if we must press in, there is something that we must press in and overcome. So, and the scripture says, tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. So there is something that we need to overcome. Whatever it is, it means, I mean, when you are fasting, you see more things coming. It is something that I believe somehow God is working in me. So I must press in that fasting, that whatever it is that is resisting me to overcome this thing that I've been praying or trusting God about, you know, I will overcome it by my persistence in prayer. You know, that is where I will have to press in. That is the pressing in, you know, to reach that mark of victory that God is calling us to. You know, and he says, because of that hope, we will not be ashamed. You know, and that mark that God says, because of the joy, you know, because of what you are hoping to attain, you know, that salvation of your God, that salvation that God is bringing to you, you will continue to press in. Whatever it is, you just press in and know that there is a package there for me, and that package, I must receive it. Just like when you are looking for a job, maybe in the morning you have to go for an interview, and then the rain begins to fall, you will not imagine. Will you say, I'm not going for that interview because of the rain? You will find every means to go for the interview, whether you get the job or not. At least you'll make an effort to go. You know, so whatever it is, we just press in. Because we have been called to press in, God has given us the power to overcome. So whatever the obstacle that is on the way, you just know that I have the power and I must overcome.
Je voulais aller par un exemple beaucoup plus concret de mon expérience personnelle. Parce que je crois que c'est comme quelqu'un qui veut réclamer quelque chose qui lui appartient.
Like somebody who wants to claim something that belongs to him.
Vous savez, Dieu nous a donné le souffle de vie qui a donné la vie à notre âme.
God gave us breath.
Dans d'autres termes, son esprit qui donne la vie à notre âme.
So he gave us his spirit that has given life to our souls.
Et le frère a dit, qu'est-ce que, à quoi servirait à un homme de gagner tout le monde et de perdre son âme?
The Bible says, what will it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his soul?
Et croyez-moi, si vous avez perdu, vous Vous avez vendu votre âme pour récupérer votre âme, ce n'est pas un exercice facile.
I assure you that if you have sold your soul, to get it back, it's not a small task.
Chaque fois que vous allez vouloir réclamer votre âme, le diable va vous rappeler quelque chose qui vous a donné
Each time that you want to, take it back, the devil will remind you what you did to lose your soul.
Quand nous étions des enfants, j'ai tué le poussin de nos voisins.
When I was a child, I killed the chick of a chicken of belonging to my neighbor.
Alors, après un temps, le fils de mon voisin a pris mon ballon.
After some time, the neighbor's son took my ball.
Et il m'avait promis qu'il ne va pas m'accuser chez eux que j'ai tué les poussins.
He had promised me that he would not tell his family that I was the one that killed that chicken.
Alors, chaque fois quand je vais prendre mon ballon, je vais dire à maman que c'est toi qui avais tué.
So each time I ask him to, I want to take back my ball from him, he will tell me, I will tell my parents.
Okay.
So I will just leave him and say, okay, take the ball, don't worry. But the time came, I really wanted to take back my ball because I wanted to play football. So one day, I just realized that, well, his mother will not kill me because I killed that chick. So I got bold there. I said, okay, give me my ball. I'm going to tell your mother that I killed the chick. So immediately, I ran into my house and I told my mother to please go and beg the neighbor. And if we realize that one day we are going to die, but that the most important thing is that that breath that He has given to us must not die.
Alors, nous devons comprendre que en gênant, même si les problèmes se multiplient, il faut réaliser que ça ne peut pas me tuer et j'irai jusqu'au bout.
So, if we are taking a fast, we should understand that this fasting will not kill us. So we need to resist to the end.
Amen. Thank you for that word, but I'm kind of confused when you are saying heaven is inside us.
When you say what?
When you say, I'm confused when you are saying heaven is inside us. Because, okay, I don't want to talk about other people's preaching, but like, okay, in the outside, in the outside, what most pastors say, when we get born again, we are striving to go to heaven. Yeah. And then when someone dies, people say, may his or her soul rest in peace. Meaning, but that soul is going to rest in peace. My question is, where is it going to rest in peace? Because I thought it's going to rest in peace. It's going maybe to rest in peace in heaven. Or if the soul had not fulfilled God's things, it's going to go to... and it's
rest
going to
pieces.
Yeah, it rests in pieces. The other P.I. is in what? In hell. So my question is, if heaven is inside us, then where are we heading to?
Okay, let me give a very short explain. Because I think it will be shorter.
I hope so.
Go ahead.
Don't look for trouble. Okay. Well, there are many ways to explain that. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
First of all, we want to say that it's heaven. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So, we're not saying there is no heaven. But, first of all, we must understand that heaven is a dimension of the spirit. That's the first thing. And it is difficult for people to understand this because our mind functions with the lower part. You know, Bashir was talking about the mind having the spiritual part. You understand? And the natural part. Now, the Bible says that the natural part, it finds it difficult to comprehend spiritual things. So it's always trying to bring the spiritual things into a natural dimension. So for most people, when they say heaven up, they think we are talking about the physical dimension when you keep going up, up. You know, many times people say they've gone up. Some Russians say they didn't see heaven. Some others say they saw a planet somewhere shining up and all that. The first thing you need to know is that flesh and blood cannot. So from here, if you start going up, you cannot get to heaven. Do you understand? That's what the Bible says. Do you understand? Because it is a spiritual, what now, dimension. That's one. Two, this body, with it, you can relate to the natural world. Do you understand that? Between the natural world and the spiritual world, there are what now? Barriers. If you look at the tabernacle, see this thing you see here? It's a barrier. Huh? Okay, silver lining.
What is that?
Okay. Now, this barrier you see here is a spiritual barrier. It is a barrier that separates the Christian from what now? The unbeliever. Do you understand that? You are here right now. My brother made a transition this afternoon. You don't understand? He passed one barrier into what now? Another. He's still here.
He's still here.
But he has entered into the first heaven. He's still sitting in his chair. Do you understand the point? But he has changed what now? Location. You know, the Bible says from one degree of glory to what now? To another. Are you understanding me? His body has not moved, but his soul has what? Changed location. Tomorrow, if he gets baptized in the Holy Spirit, do you know what happens? He changes location again to another degree. Now, as he is, you see, when, and if an unbeliever is here, and we are talking, that person is outside. He is physically here with us, but he's outside. Because the things we are talking about are strange to him. We are talking about realities, things that are normal to what we experience every day, and the person is not understanding it. If you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, God introduces you to another dimension of reality, which somebody may be born again, but not baptized in the Spirit. Do you understand the point? There are realms. Somebody can say here, as we are talking, I saw, you know, a man walking here. Do you understand the point? And this is that. It's a different dimension. But we are all here, but we are all at different... you understand the point? Degrees. Now, how do I explain that? In the natural, no, there is a natural, there's a spiritual, he said here too. The natural realm, we talk in terms of time and what now? Space. If somebody is here, he is not in Lagos. You are sure of that, isn't it? I'm here, I'm not in Lagos. I can't be in Lagos because I'm limited by space. You understand the point? And for me to get from there to Lagos, time must pass. You understand that? If I enter an aircraft, it is faster, but it still takes time. If I have to walk on foot, oh, maybe I'll get there. You understand? 2018. Who knows? But so the barriers in the natural is time and what now and space. But in the other dimension, and as I'm talking to you, heaven is here. Do you understand that Jesus is here?
Yes.
And he has never left heaven. He is always where now? In heaven. So, but he is in... Yes. Where that God dwells is what now? In heaven. So Jesus is here, but he's in heaven. So he is in a different what now? Dimension. But sometimes you see that my eyes can be what now? Open. And I see. How did I see? With the eyes of what now? My inward man. You follow the point now. The other part of me that gives me the capacity to touch the other what now? Reality. I don't know if I'm communicating with you. It's important to understand that. So in the natural, time, space, they are the barriers and limitations. But in the spiritual, We deal with degrees of glory. Do you understand that? The Bible says that we are moved from one degree of glory to what now? To another. Now, at the highest degree is who? Is God. We call him the most what now? High. So when you say the highest, it's not really saying physically up. Are you getting my point? But we're talking about degrees of glory, of authority, of power, of life. You understand the point? God has the, he's there. When Jesus came down, he actually came down. Not that he fell from the sky. Do you understand the point? But he reduced. In fact, shed off all that level and came in a form that physical eyes could do what now? See him. The degree of heaven is such that physical eyes cannot see. So natural men say there is no God. Didn't you see people say that?
Yes.
But you know that there is God. Have you seen him? With the other eyes. You have senses that experience God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So you see, when we begin to understand this, some of these other things become less what now? Simpler. When you get born again, you see, okay, let's look at it this way. When God created man, he prepared a place inside man for himself to do what now? To dwell. Do you understand that? Now, good. Now, that part of you is a realm of heaven. How did it come into you? God breathed what now? Into you. Do you understand that? When God breathed into you, he put a dimension of heaven where? Into you. Why? Because he plans to do what now? To dwell. Do you understand that? So, to that extent, you understand that there is heaven where? Inside you. So, the day you got born again, you entered heaven. Do you understand that? When man sinned, he fell from heaven. Are you together? He didn't fall from the sky. But he fell from that dimension. He could no longer touch that reality. And that's what the Bible means when it says he was chased out from the garden. Do you understand the point now? So, he couldn't touch spiritual things anymore. So, he was now limited to natural things. He became carnal, sensual. What he sees with the eyes, that's what he knows that is what now is real. Praise the name of the Lord. Okay. So, when man sinned, God closed the door and separated himself from man. This is what this tabernacle. This thing is simply how we get back to where, do you understand? What we lost. Back to our dwelling place. Praise the name of the Lord. So he said something. Notice that God always meets with us in the mountains. You notice that? Always, always, always. Naturally, God is not talking about natural mountain. But he talks about that you can move. Every time you hear the word of God does what now? It lifts you up. You know, people talk about rapture. And I keep telling them, see, if you understand that man is a soul, you can understand rapture very well. He said that the Lord will descend where? In a shout. Every time you hear the word of God here, God comes down with his word. If you respond to it, the word does what now? It takes you up. If it takes you up, your thoughts change. Because your thoughts can be set on things where now? Let me tell you, that somebody can be here, his thought is in hell. Do you understand? David said, you have delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Which hell is he talking about? The one that you go when you die. If you go there, you're not coming back. You are talking about the hell that you are in now, that you can be what now? Deliver from. I don't know if you're understanding that. Yes, it's a condition of bondage. A condition, anywhere the devil rules is hell. We must understand that there are, when I say heaven, there are different what now? Dimensions. Okay? So there is a dimension of heaven which a man experiences here by virtue of being born again. The Bible says that Christ has raised us up. Is it correct?
Yes.
And made us sit where?
In heaven.
Us. Which us is that? Your body?
No.
No. Your inward what now? Man. Do you understand that? So when we say heaven, we are talking about the dimension of what now? Of the Spirit. And that as you are walking, Jesus said, nobody has seen God at any time. Do you understand the point? Except the Son of Man, which came down from heaven. Even the Son of Man, which is what now? In heaven. So he was talking to them, and he said, I'm talking to you. I am where? I am in heaven. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, so having said all this, you have understood the picture. Now, what happens when a Christian does what now? He dies. Okay, what is death? Now, you have a spirit, you have a body. These are the two vehicles that the soul uses to function, isn't it? When the body and the spirit are joined, man is what? Alive. Is that what the Bible says? But it says the body without the spirit, dead. So when the body and the spirit is connected, you can no longer dwell where? In this dimension. What happened to you? The physical body goes to where?
To the earth.
The spirit goes back to who? To God. Now the soul is in trouble. Do you understand the point? Now that's why it's important for you to understand that you must address your soul when?
Now.
Because whatever the state and the condition of the soul determines where the soul is what now? Going. Yes. If the soul is still in a condition of corruption, heaven will be not be comfortable for that soul. Have you ever tried to preach an unbeliever? You're sharing the word of God. It becomes very what now? Uncomfortable. Do you understand the point? What do you think is happening? Heaven is coming near hell. And hell is what now? It does not want the light at all. So if you are dwelling in darkness and you allow darkness to fill you up, and you suddenly think that just because you die, you know, most people think that you die, you now go to heaven. You wouldn't enjoy heaven. Do you understand the point? You will not enjoy it. It will be very, very, but heaven will be a torment for you. So right now, you must be preparing your soul for heaven. Are you getting my point? To dwell, David said, one thing have I desired. That will I seek after. That I may do what now? Dwell where? In the house of the Lord. The soul is the house of the Lord. To behold where? The beauty of the Lord. And we have learned that before the soul gets here, it must undergo a change of nature. Do you understand? This is what your business is all about. We acquired a nature when we fell, and then we must undergo a change of nature to become comfortable. Where? In heaven. Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So when a man dies, depending on what has happened to him through this whole, experiences, that determines whether he's good. There is a place called the lake of what now?
Fire.
Of fire. Now that is the permanent dwelling place of the soul that is what now? Unsaved. Now when people say hell, that is actually what they mean. Praise the name of the Lord. Do you understand that? So, in one sense, the soul can be in heaven. Sorry, there is heaven within you. There is heaven, what now? Around you. Do you understand the point? You know, so it's a very, very simple thing. God dwells in heaven, the highest heaven. Praise the name of the Lord. And Jesus said, where I am, that's where I want you to be. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, so I don't know how, but just maybe we'll take it off from there. Okay.
So, can you distinguish why she so she said, when you said.
Okay, that's.
When you said. So, I want to say that it's not the brothers that said. Mm-hmm. In the scripture, said the kingdom of God
is within you.
Within you. Mm-hmm. It's in the Bible, the scripture. So, it's not them saying it. They're explaining to you what is in the Bible.
And the Bible also says that Satan entered into Judas. Where did he go to?
The kingdom of God.
Yes,
okay. And heaven. Okay, yes. Praise God. Now, the kingdom of God, as it is, speaks about the rule of God. Okay? A kingdom is comprised of two things, a king and a domain. You understand the point? Otherwise, you have a king ruling over a people. Okay. Now, today, we have the kingdoms of this world. Now, let me explain that. You see, when man was created, God gave him a domain. Is that correct? He said, have what now?
Dominion.
Over different realms. He spoke about the birds of the air. That's the difference to the fish on the sea and the creeping things and all that. He wasn't saying that man should be a hunter. Are you understanding that? No. But he was trying to say that man was to have rule over various spheres, over his mind, over his emotions, over his desire, over what now? His will. And all these things pertain to what now? To the soul. Are we understanding that? Good. So, but when man sinned, one of the things he did, legally speaking, was that he took that dominion and gave over to who now? To Satan. So technically, according to scripture, the devil became the god of this world. So as far as this present environment is concerned, the devil is the prince of the power of the earth. Do you understand that? But the kingdom of God still, what now, is. The contention is, as far as this earth is concerned, and it is because legally God recognizes the choice that man did what now made. Do you understand that? But see, God is still interested in claiming what does what now rightfully belongs to him. So he set a principle. And this is this gospel that you hear. When you receive the gospel, you know what happens to you? The kingdom of God is set where? Within you. Okay? Now it is God's plan that that same kingdom that is within you will grow and become what now? Manifested what now? Without. Okay? So presently, that kingdom is a secret kingdom. We are expressing it here. Do you understand the point? We are proclaiming a king. The world does not understand this thing we are talking. They understand the head of state. You understand? They understand United Nations. They understand the governors. They understand powers. But we are saying no. We recognize another kingdom. So this kingdom continues to grow. Every time I yield to God's kingdom, because there is a contention, there are two kingdoms within me right now. You believe that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You know, but the more I submit to the word of God, the kingdom of God does what now? Grows and grows and grows until all other kingdoms are what now? Overthrown. So when God has a people in whom he has fully established his kingdom, do you understand that? Whole and entire, then God now acquires the legal rights to do what? Come back and do what now? And claim, you understand? Outwardly, that which was now belongs to him. So you are the key to God's kingdom. You understand the point? Now, heaven is the realm of the spirit. Now let's look at the heaven. In heaven, there are kingdom of darkness. It's a realm of heaven. Is that correct? Yes, the Bible said there was war where?
In heaven.
So the devil dwells in a realm of heaven. You understand the point? Good. Right now, he's occupying, as it were, the realm of the second heaven, which man is lawfully authorized to occupy. When you and I, as we respond to this word, allow God to set up his kingdom within us, we now come into a position where we do what now? We challenge him. Do you understand the point? And say, this place you're occupying actually belongs to who now? To us. So there was war, and the dragon was what now? Cast down. Whoever occupies that realm influences this world. Do you understand that? He administers whatever is going on. So, but we are getting, you know, being lifted up to be able to overthrow that what now? Influence. When the dragon is cast down, he was deceiving the nations. He was controlling them. But the sons of God will do what now? Will take over and begin to govern. Then that kingdom now manifests in its outward form. Yes. But in this present time, the kingdom of heaven contains both light and what now? Darkness. Yes, it does. You can come to a place where the heavens of this town is dominated by what? Darkness. Yes, it does. Heaven speaks about a sphere of rule and what? Authority. Praise the name of the Lord. You know. So we are believing that as God's kingdom is established within us, as we respond to this word, and as we hear, because God wants absolute loyalty from you. When he gets absolute loyalty from you, you know, the Bible says that when our obedience is made what now? Complete. We shall now have the right and the moral capacity to now avenge every other disobedience in this world. Because the whole world is in rebellion. But we cannot judge rebellion when there is rebellion where? Inside us. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, so these are the basic things. I'm trusting God next time we come to talk about the kingdom. Because it is important. So that we can relate to this world, relate to the enemy, and relate to God. Praise the name of the Lord. God bless you. Or of God, from Jesus Christ. Yes, that is the final victory.
When Jesus was tempted by the devil, God said, took him up to the pinnacle and showed him all the kingdoms of the
world.
He said, these things I will give you if only you bow down and worship me. We know that it's not talking about the kingdom of Persia or Great Britain or whatever. He was showing him the hearts of men that he had rule over. I was telling Jesus, these are mine. Like he said, legally, God did not swear by disciplining Adam when he fell. But these same kingdoms, as we submit to the kingdom of God, we identify God and move from that domain of the devil, we now enter the kingdom of God. You understand? So, he can lay claim on many lands, but he cannot lay claim on the people of God now. You understand? Because we know that a lot of people have left his kingdom and are now in the kingdom of Christ. And as the scripture she quoted, ultimately, we can answer the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ.
And it shall reign.
And it shall reign forever. And this becomes the event as we submit ourselves to God every day. And that we're talking about the head and the body. I say I belong to God and I'm doing my own things. It can't work. I say I'm going to, what do you call it? What's the name of that place? You are going to Nakuru or whatever, and you're heading towards the road. They don't go together. Do you understand? And I'm sitting myself, saying this is where I'm going, but my car is facing the other way. God knows it, and the devil himself knows. He will know that this person belongs to him, even though he's not going to be here. So if we say we belong to the kingdom of God, we should live as people that belong, that's identifying who the king is. And every day we're submitting more and more to him and evacuating more people from the kingdom of the devil into his own kingdom. And ultimately, when our soul is completely taken over from the soul, he said in that same scripture that the angel, the devil fought, the dragon fought, and Michael fought, and their place was found no more. So that is. Archangel Michael drove the devil out completely. Their place was no more found. So in this heaven, the time will come when there's no place for the devil anymore. Completely, he looked down and there's nothing there for him. Then we can say the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. So listen to us.
Amen.
She has a question. Yes.